A delightful opportunity once again to be here, see everyone. Thank you very much for the flowers, beautiful flowers here. I know it's a little cloudy out there, but it's a beautiful drive. My wife and I, we've got into the habit now of going halfway. We stop in Ukiah for the night. Sue's aunt is there, and we could visit her if we get there early enough. Her aunt is 84. You know, so we don't want to interfere too late in the afternoon, in the evening. But then we kick it in the morning and have a leisurely rest, and then just a nice drive the rest of the way up here. Very nice. I did want to mention before getting started that the Kingdom of God seminars, almost 1,500 people attended so far. That's the numbers that were collected. And we know that this does not include the 17th and or the 24th today. There might be one or two seminars today. So 1,500 people so far was able to hear the Kingdom of God message. And it was very exciting. We had one couple in San Jose. This was for the Good News subscribers, right? We mailed out to the Good News subscribers. They had no idea where the Good News was. They were flipping the television channel and came across Beyond Today program that mentioned it. And they were listening, and the husband says to the wife, if it's within 100 miles, we're going. It was 3 miles. It was only 3 miles for them. We had one gal so excited that she started attending church 4 weeks ahead of the seminar. And after the third week, she said, I'm home. This is where I belong. Her sister? No, the one going to Oakland? It's either her sister or her, I think it's her sister, is attending in Oakland. Also started attending before the seminars even began. Our Father calls whom He wants, when He wants, how He wants. I worked as a mail reader in the African work when I was in England. And it's remarkable that there are no barriers to our Father when He wants to call someone. Might as well share. Mr. Jackson was visiting, I forget the country. He spoke English. He had an interpreter who spoke English and French. They were visiting a fellow who spoke French and Bali. And they had a Bali Bible. And the conversation went from Bali to French to English to French to Bali to French to English to French to Bali to French. The upstart was the man was baptized because he understood the Bible. There's no barriers to our Father whatsoever. I wanted to mention, it was mentioned to me that we have pears, a bag of pear fruit, not two pieces of fruit, it's just pear, the fruit pear, bags of it out there. I mentioned that we had a dwarf pear tree at the house. I put all kinds of fruit trees in the back of the yard. This pear tree gave me one piece of fruit in, I think it was 5 years, one, not a pear, not two, not a pear, but one piece of fruit in 5 years. It came off one stem and it hung there by itself, dangling, teasing me. And when it finally looked ripe, I picked it and it was bitter. Got an axe and took that tree out. I did dig and dung. You know, that's the way we should do to make it grow. And it only gave me one fruit and it was history. Just the last word is, can you believe it's feast time already? Next week is Feast of Trumpets, followed by Atonement and Feast of Tabernacles. Where did the time go? During the discussions, for recording, sermon starts now. Oh, I forgot the timepiece. Oh, we're good. Got a couple of hours. During the discussions that Jesus had with His disciples, the question of identifying signs of the end time would come up. And, you know, we went through the Kingdom of God seminars. We talked about those, the identifying signs. Jesus gave them a warning and a dissertation of the events of the end time. You'll read that in Matthew 24. These are the events that are taking place at the end. You hear that? Cool. I'll be doing that for a while because I do move around a bit. He said, don't be deceived that there will be deceivers proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ. And they're saying that Jesus is the Christ, but they are teaching a different Jesus. They're not saying that they are Christ. They're teaching a different Jesus. There'll be wars, rumors of wars, nations fighting against each other. Well, we don't read that in the papers today at all. Well, yes, we do. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes in crazy places. Earthquakes all across the East Coast. Where is this happening? Hasn't happened in hundreds of years. We are in very troubled times. There's a discussion of the prophetic events. But what about the people? What about the people? Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3 and take a look at what would be the attitudes of the people at the end time. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, again, the end time, perilous times will come. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famine, earthquakes. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous. This sounds like Washington, D.C. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such, people turn away. There was one word in here. I'm going to make a whole sermon out of a single word. One word sticks out for today's message. It's almost like, my scripture for today. Unthankful. Unthankful. Being unthankful. This is a universally growing telltale trait of people unfamiliar with God's word or those who have rejected God's word. Being unthankful. Being thankful. Being thankful is a mark of a Christian. Being thankful is an identifying mark of a Christian. In God's word, we might say that being thankful is and should be considered a major theme, especially as we read the Psalms. David wrote constantly about being thankful and proclaiming the praise of God, and often giving praise and thankfulness as being interchangeable. Praising God and being thankful is worshiping God. They're interchangeable. Let's take a look at the centerpiece of today's message, turning to 1 Thessalonians 5. I was just there. Well, see, I have it marked in. And read here. 1 Thessalonians 5. And look at the solid foundation of the Word of God in dealing with this one Christian attribute of being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren. Again, this comes down through the centuries to us. The exhortation is to us. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Each one of those would be a sermon by itself. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourselves and for all. This isn't a self-centered life that we're living. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks, this is the will of God. Always is the key here. In everything. Well, the word everything in the Greek, and we do talk about the derivations of words and what the meanings were. Some say, why do you do that? Well, it gives us a better understanding of what was being said. If we said someone came into the room, well, did they walk in, sashay, stroll, meander, fall, trip? How did they come into the room? Because it gives us a sense of the essence. Well, here, the word everything means entirety. Every, all, any. All in the manner of means, whatsoever, the whole of it. Nothing left out, the good, the bad, the ugly. In everything, that's hard to grasp right there, give thanks. Uh-oh, Fred's gone from preaching to meddling. Because in everything isn't always easy, isn't always nice, isn't always happy, we're to give thanks. That's the requirement. It says it is the will of God. Well, the will here means it's a determination. It's a choice. It's the purpose. It's a decree. It's the inclination. It is the desire. It is God's desire, His decree. It is His will that we be thankful for everything, leaving nothing out. Now, over the years, many people have wondered, what is the will of God for me? You know, I've talked to some people, and when I first started this journey, I kind of thought the same thing. What is God's will for me? Is He going to send me on a mission? I'll go. It'll be hard. It'll be difficult. I'll experience the trial and challenges and the deprivation of doing the will of God. I'll do it on His behalf. What is God's will for us? That we be in His kingdom. That is God's will. And we're to learn this book so we can be in His kingdom. The will of God is much simpler than sending us on a mission. He wants us to have the mind of Christ active in us. He wants us to be thankful, growing as a Christian, so that we will not miss out on His kingdom. Now, being thankful is a remarkable command, and made more so because it's God's will for us today. Well, today we're going to explore the concept of being thankful more thoroughly as we learn to become more like God and Christ in our thinking, in our actions, in our daily lives. Being thankful for all things, is that even possible? I'm going to tell you a story. True story. I like true stories. True stories. What am I doing with a pen? I'm not writing. True stories, I find, illustrate reality. I'd like to tell and use real stories. Otherwise, my imagination could get pretty good. But true stories tell the reality. Dutch-born sisters Corey and Betsy Ten Boom lived in Haarlem, Holland. I'll just say they lived in Harlem. It says Harlem, but that's in New York. They lived in Holland. They were Holland-born. They were caught up in Hitler's war. After the start of the war, the town filled with German soldiers. No one could buy food unless they had a ration card. Dutch newspapers were stopped. All radio sets had to be given up. They were confiscated. There was a curfew. No one was allowed on the streets after 6 o'clock in the evening. They were controlled. Corey closed down her girls' club, which she had run for nearly 20 years. This had been started for girls 12 to 18 years old, included activities like gymnastics, music, camping, hiking. She also ran a club for the mentally handicapped young people. She had a very giving heart. To save their Jewish friends from the gentle ministrations of the Gestapo, the Ten Boom House was fitted with a secret room. And they used that room successfully for 4 years, hiding Jews from the Gestapo. In February of 1944, they were finally arrested for helping Jews escape the Nazi purge. They were thrown into the local prison. The Gestapo kept trying to find the location of that secret room where the Jews had been hidden. Force and beatings and deprivations were used. There was no bed in Corey's cell, just a dirty straw mattress with only one blanket. The cell was bitterly cold. The only food was a plate of thin porridge each morning and one piece of black bread in the evening. That black bread contained a lot of sawdust. For bulk. It was not nutritious. Her father died within the first 10 days of capture. Corey spent 4 months in isolation because she had been ill. In June of 1944, Corey and her sister Betsy were taken to Ravensbrück concentration camp. It was a death sentence going there. People don't come out. This was worse than any other prison they had been in. The first 2 days they had to sleep out in the open. It poured with rain. The ground became a sea of mud. Then they were packed into a huge barrack room. It had been built to house 400 people, and they crammed 1,400 prisoners into it. The girls tried to remain positive and optimistic. They knew that at the heart of surviving was to be positive. They tried to be positive and thankful for everything. Their new digs had straw mattresses filled with choking dust and swarms of fleas. Think of sitting there and fleas are under every bit of your garment and they're crawling around and they're biting you. Fleas are everywhere. Corey asked, "Can we even be thankful for fleas?" Yes, even for fleas. Because it was determined. Their barracks had the fewest experiences of abuse and torture because the guards didn't want to go into the room because of the fleas. They were left alone because of the fleas. They were free to read a smuggled Bible and sing hymns because of the fleas. They endured the biting and the itching of the fleas because they were left alone. Yes, you can be even thankful for fleas. Corey was released one day. She learned later that the release was a mistake. A week after being released, all the women of her age in the camp were killed. She spent the remainder of her life writing and visiting troubled people, teaching forgiveness. Teaching forgiveness. A movie of her war experiences was made titled The Secret Room. It was released in 1975. Corrie ten Boom died in 1983. When we think about our lives, we can think about the struggles that we go through. When we think about the issues that we might have, when we think about life being difficult, we can even be thankful for fleas. We can even be thankful for fleas. You know, I'm itchy right now, just thinking about it. 2 Corinthians 7, Paul gives us some instruction. I'm already off topic, not off topic, but off my notes. We'll just see where we go. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. See, Paul didn't have it easy as a itinerant preacher, as an apostle of Christ, as an evangelist. He didn't have it easy. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he has comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. You know, when we share our prayers and our cares for one another, whatever we go through, we can go through them. And we can go through them with thankfulness and joy and zeal. There's the story of the butterfly. A fellow was watching a butterfly come out of the chrysalis, and it's struggling. And he thought he'd be nice. So he carefully cut away the chrysalis and let the butterfly come out without a struggle. Butterfly just flops there and flops there and flops there and dies. The butterfly needs the conflict, the struggle, to push all the blood to the extremes of its wings. If it doesn't do that, it cannot fly. The entire organ system doesn't work. It needs that struggle. What would our Christian life be if there was no struggle? Wouldn't it be just easy, and couldn't we just take it for granted, and we just take it for granted? The butterfly needs that struggle to get out so that it could be what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a butterfly. We need the struggles to grow. That's what God says. Look, I'm not going to take you out of your struggles, but I'll give you the power to go through them. We can be thankful for struggles. I hate the phrase, but it's kind of true. That which doesn't kill us strengthens us. I don't want that, but it's true. If it doesn't kill us, it can strengthen us. Let's do a quick run through of some scriptures that deal with being thankful, regardless of what situation we're in. Let's go to Psalms 100, please. We'll just do a quick download of some scriptures where we read of being thankful. God commands us to be thankful. He wants us to be thankful. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Not just November 24th. or the last Thursday and whatever it turns out to be. What?
The fourth
Thursday. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures all generations. Psalm 105. I found it very interesting that you can just go from one to another, and that theme remains there. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember what God has done. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Same verse. This is a theme here. For his mercy endures forever. Psalm 136. I kind of told you we're going to run through these quickly. Psalm 136. We'll stay here for a second. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. Who laid out the earth above the waters. To him who made great lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon and stars to rule the night. To him who struck the east bird. Each phrase, each step here, there is thanksgiving, for his mercy endures forever. We're thankful for God's mercy. We really should be. Every day we should be on our knees, thankful that God was merciful to us. That he's opened up our minds, that he's shared with us his spirit, the knowledge and the hope of tomorrow. One of the comments that was made at the Kingdom of God seminar, one of the gals I was chatting with, she said, "You're at peace with the world." Because she was very upset the way the Middle East was, the way Russia was, the way the economy was, everything is falling apart. And she said, "You're at peace with the world." I said, "Yes, because I have hope of tomorrow. I know what's going to happen. God has opened and revealed the end of the story. We've got a novel here. We've already read the end of the book. We know what happens. And it's good for everyone." Let's go to the New Testament. Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Continuing a run through here. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 1. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." You ever see a child imitating their parents? I see my grandson walking kind of the same way his father does. From the back, I watch it and I just smile. I see some mannerisms in Connor that follow after Bob. I see mannerisms of my grandson Yoshi that follows after Joshua. I see this. Imitators of God as dear children. We should imitate God because we're his children. "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." There is something to be thankful for. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as fitting for the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks." We're to use words that fitly represent God and Christ. We're to use thoughts and share those thoughts that fitly represent God and his plan. "And to give thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous, who is covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. We are to give thanks. Verse 19. Speaking to one another, talking about how we're to deal with one another, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart and to the Lord. We did that in the three songs that we sang. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again. I repeat, we are to give thanks always, meaning all the time. Doesn't stop there. For all things, good, bad, ugly, doesn't matter, to God in the name of God, in the name of Christ. Colossians 1, please. Colossians 1. Again, this is a theme. I'm pounding on it because this world doesn't understand being thankful. And when things go against them, when things are awry, when they're being thwarted, when they're not happy, they feel they have a right not to be thankful. God says, no, not so much. I want you to be thankful. Verse 12, Colossians 1, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. There's something to be thankful for. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ that allowed us to approach the throne of grace, the mercy seat, to receive His Spirit, and then have the hope of tomorrow. We're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He has taken us, removed us from this world's ideas. See, we're still here. He hasn't removed us from the world. But we are no longer subject to this world. We are subject to the laws, attitudes, actions of the kingdom of God today. We represent the kingdom of God today. Albeit not perfectly. But that's how we're supposed to live our lives. Colossians 2, please. Oh, probably the same page. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it, abounding in this process, this whole change that you're going through with thanksgiving. If I knew how far I had to go when I was first called, I'd have thrown in a towel. I am thankful God didn't open up my mind to everything that I needed to change, because I wouldn't have started this journey. God was merciful to show me a little bit, in fact, probably less than you. Let me just show you that. In fact, I won't even show you that. Just come on over. Just to get me started. As we've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith, as we have been taught, abounding in this whole process, in this whole change, with thanksgiving. Colossians 4, please. Colossians 4. Verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer. And of course, all of us should do that. That's a very personal activity that we have. You know, God says, go in your closet privately to pray. He says, you know, one of the other tools that we have is fasting. He says, don't tell anybody you're fasting. I mean, it's a private thing between me and you. But here He says, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I start out my prayers, I really try to, giving God thanks. And I just start there, and sometimes I forget even why I went before Him, because all I could do is just thank Him. There was just so much to be thankful for. And the older I get, the more there is. Philippians 4, please. Oh, I'm making you go backward. I'm sorry. I thought these were in order. Philippians 4, verse 6. Sometimes we look at the world around us, Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are times we live in very anxious and difficult times when the world around us is causing us anxiety and angst. But when we're thankful for the power that God has given to us, thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that anxiety, that anxiousness will go away. It will disappear. We're to pray to God with thanksgiving. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Well, we know what it says. I don't hope. 5:18 just says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks. We need to have the attitude of appreciation, the attitude of thankfulness to God, an attitude of praising God, because that is God's will. Now, on the surface, I could see someone saying, God wants me to thank Him. God is an all-powerful, all-knowing God. Why does He need our praise? Is God the type of God that whenever we get down on our knees, we start praising Him and talking about praising Him and thanking Him? He's going, yeah, right on. Tell me more. I done good, didn't I? Yeah, tell me more. Is that God? Is that why He's telling us to give thanks to Him? Is He self-centered that He needs our validation and confirmation? Does God need us to soothe His character, His vanity? I speak as a fool. That is not God. God wants us to be thankful to Him for our benefit. Being thankful to God benefits us. Being thankful and praising God benefits us. Published in November 25, in 2009, by Clay Ruthledge, a PhD in Death, Love, Sex, Magic. I guess that's the title of it. Research was done on being thankful. Now you would think, who would want to do a research on being thankful? You do a Google research, and you'll find that there are incredible number of sites dealing with happiness. There are happy clubs. Because people are sad, they live in a world of depression. There are happiness groups. People did study into being thankful. God wants us to be thankful, and studies have been done to say, you know, He was right. It's not just for them, it's for me. It's for me. He says, on Thanksgiving, talking about the tradition of Thanksgiving, it is a nice tradition. However, after investigating the literature on Thanksgiving and the psychological research that was done, I discovered it is personally and socially advantageous to be thankful. Socially and personally advantageous to be thankful. For example, across three experiments, Robert Emmons, Michael McCullough, in 2003 found evidence that the experience of gratitude leads to a positive psychological, physical, and social outcome. Ooh, key. Interesting. In these studies, the researchers randomly assigned people to a gratitude condition or one of a few control conditions. Participants in the gratitude condition were asked to spend a few minutes thinking about and listing what they were grateful for. I once gave a sermon, and the only thing I did was I took 5 minutes and I said, start writing down what you are thankful for. And I just stood here. And pretty soon people said, he means it. And they started writing down. One person later said, I started up too soon because they were not done writing. Spend a few minutes thinking about and listing what they were thankful for. I dare say I give you the challenge tonight. What are you thankful for? Make a list and don't stop. See how far that list goes. And it's a private list. Keep it to yourself. Participants in control conditions contemplated and listed other non-gratitude-related life experiences. Depending on the study, participants engaged in this gratitude or non-gratitude reflection task weekly for a total of 10 weeks or daily for a total of 13 days. Further, participants completed a number of other questions related to psychological functioning, social functioning, and physical health. In general, participants who were asked to think about what they were grateful for, compared to control condition participants, experienced greater levels of optimism, positive mood, and feelings of belongingness over the period of study. That is, experiencing gratitude promoted psychological well-being. Further, in one study, these participants reported fewer physical ailments, symptoms, and indicated spending more time exercising. This suggests that gratitude may also promote healthy living. Also, these participants were more likely to report having someone with a personal problem or offering emotional support to others. These participants were more likely to report helping someone with a personal problem or offering emotional support to others. In other words, gratitude may also motivate pro-social and moral behavior. Spouses and partners of participants in the gratitude condition compared to spouses and partners of participants in the control condition observed higher levels of positive mood and lower levels of negative mood. In other words, the benefits of gratitude were noticeable even to others. The take-home message is that being grateful is good for you and for those around you. In another study in 2009, Florida State University and Yale University got together, rather prestigious universities here, and in a white paper released in March of 2010, the study was titled "Benefits of Expressing Gratitude." Expressing gratitude to a partner changes one's view of the relationship. Benefits of expressing gratitude changes your view of the partnership. And again, they broke it into different studies here. A cross-sectional survey. This is more scientific in its presentation. Cross-sectional survey expressing gratitude to a relationship partner was positively associated with the expressor's perception of the communal strength of the relationship. I'm not going to interpret that. It is what it is. In study two, expressing gratitude predicted increases in the expressor's perception of the communal strength of the relationship across time. And in study three, participants were randomly assigned an experimental condition in which they expressed gratitude to a friend or to one of the three control conditions in which they thought grateful thoughts about a friend, thought about daily activities, or had positive interactions with a friend. At the end of the study, perceived communal strength was higher among participants in the expression of gratitude condition than among all three control conditions. When people express thankfulness and gratitude and appreciation, they themselves have a more positive outlook, a more optimistic outlook, a stronger feel of the communal strength that takes place. Nathaniel Lambert, who was part of the author here, says, the first study examined the hypothesis that expressing gratitude to a relationship partner enhances one's perception and found a positive relationship, suggesting those who express gratitude perceive the relationship to be more mutually supportive. Second study found that the expression of gratitude predicted increases in the expressor's perception of the communal strength of the relationship across time. This suggested that the people expressing gratitude became more committed to the relationship and were more likely to rate it as mutually supportive at a later date. Think about relationships you have. How much time do you spend and how strong do you think the relationship is with someone who never shares gratitude or appreciation? Whether it's marriage, friendship, at work, employee, employer. It's suggested that the people expressing gratitude became more committed to the relationship and were more likely to rate it as mutually supportive at a later date. The third study measured the effects of expressing gratitude with merely thinking grateful thoughts or sharing positive interactions with a friend and found the expression of gratitude to be more indicative of increased perceived communal strength. The researchers posed three possible explanations for this as hypothesis for further study. First, that verbal expression of gratitude acts as a communication to the expressor, the one who is expressing gratitude, reinforcing his or her desire for and belief in the communal strength of the relationship. You feel there's a stronger relationship with the one you're thanking. Second, that expressing gratitude can be seen as a response action directed toward the partner, indicating that one cares enough about the partner to reassure the partner if his or her actions were appreciated, appropriate, and desired. Now, God doesn't need that, but it certainly helps us to share that with our God. And finally, the act of expressing gratitude is likely to have an impact on the partner and encourage supportive acts. It's interesting that the world came to understand what God knew all along, that being thankful is good for the one who is thankful. Being thankful is good for the relationships that we have. Being thankful and showing appreciation is good for commitment and long-term relationships. Being thankful, God said in His Word, He wants us to be thankful. For our sake, for our benefit. The world thrives on the negative. It hones in on what's down, wrong, missing, angry, or hostile. Right now I'm writing a rewards and recognition program for an operations group. Because the only time people see the boss is when something went wrong. And they cower, in a sense. They cringe, here comes the boss, what did I do, how did he know? That was my phrase. I'm called into the principal's office in school. It's not, oh, okay, I'll go. It's, what did I do, and how did they know? Well, I'm writing a program for our management to show appreciation and thankfulness because our workers, who are hired to do a good job, don't get me wrong, they are compensated well for what they do. But they still need approbation, a pat on the back, appreciation, validation. All of us do. All of us do. We live in a world that hones in on what's down, wrong, missing, angry, or hostile, and focusing in on so much of the negative that sometimes and most times there's just no room to be thankful or for thanksgiving. Here's a study that we just went through that shows expressing gratitude, being thankful, is for our benefit. God doesn't need our thanks, but His will is that we be thankful for our sake. The world just identifies that God knew what He was doing all along. When we pray, how much time do we spend in thanksgiving? I'm not making a judgment call because I point my fingers back at myself as well. How much time are we expressing appreciation as to in relationship to what our requests are, what our wants and needs are? You know, ancient Israel had a problem and how quickly they forgot their God. Deuteronomy 8. Way back. Deuteronomy 8. You know, this was written while Israel was still in the wilderness, or talking about the time when they were still in the wilderness before they went into the promised land. Deuteronomy 8. Your Bible may be the same. It has a title under just above Deuteronomy 8. It says, remember the Lord your God. Verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills you can dig copper. Wow! I'm going to give you a great land. I'm going to give you a land that you'll just be in awe of. This is going to be great. Verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God. You will give thanks to God. And for the good land which I have given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you today. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the God, Lord God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When we're in good times, we need to be thankful to remember God. We are thankful so that we do not forget God. We are thankful when we are full. We don't want to forget God. Beware that you do not forget the eternal your God by not keeping His commandments or His judgments, which I command you today. God ties in an attitude of thankfulness with not being forgetful. Unfortunately, Israel kind of promptly forgot. You know, it's sadly interesting because every time God is giving these instructions, think about this. What was taking place? What was taking place? 7 days a week, there were miracles taking place. Miracles every day. Before them was the tower, the column of fire, and the cloud by day. They were eating manna. The miracle of God, the mercy of God was every day. And they forgot. 7 days a week, Israel experienced God's miracle, and yet God has to turn around and say, hey, you forgot me. You forgot me. That's part of the message of the book of Deuteronomy. Don't forget God. Don't forget God. That's the big part of life, not forgetting God. And a big part of not forgetting God is being thankful and having an attitude of thanksgiving. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3, please. 2 Timothy 3. Bum, bum, bum. 2 Timothy. I think we were there before. Oh, let's go to 2 Timothy 3. Yes, we were. We were already there. Being thankful is listed as an identifier of the end time. Being thankful is listed as that identifier. Being unthankful is listed as the identifier of the end time, and we need to be thankful, which is the identifier of a Christian. Romans 1, please. Romans 1. That's where I should go. Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. We see God in everything. We see God in the sky. We see God in the air we breathe. The food that grows for us, the sun, the moon, the stars, we see God everywhere. Being understood by these things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no denying the God unless you really want to reject Him. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They didn't glorify God. They weren't thankful. They didn't think about His plan or His existence. Farmer goes and time for meal, and he sits there, and he's got his family around him. He says, let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the food. I cleared the land. I tilled the ground. I took the rocks out, planted the seed, I watered, I weed, I harvested, I cleaned the food. I did all that, but thank you anyway. You know? Missed the point. Missed the point. In Luke 17 is the example of the 10 lepers who, seeing Jesus, begged His mercy, and Jesus had mercy on them and He healed them. He sent all 10 to the priests. How many went? One. One returned. 1 out of 10. And it was a foreigner. It was a Samaritan. You know, the Samaritans didn't have much. Didn't have much at all. Some of the more thankful people I know don't have much. They're very thankful. It seems that the more people have, the less thankful they are. And the less people have, the more thankful they are. Have you ever been in Africa? I haven't been there, but I've read their mail when I was in England and talked with a number of people. Mr. Tuck now goes to Africa. Some of those folk are absolutely wonderfully thankful for even the smallest things in their lives that we take for granted, that we might just toss away as that's so much, just so much dross. They take great things. They give great thanksgiving for everything. They seem more joyful. They seem happier. They're more thankful for what they have than most of us in this country. It seems the more you have, the less you appreciate. Well, we have the story of Job, right? Everything was taken away from Job. You know, God allowed a great trial to take place. It was a huge trial. There's no denying that. In the beginning, Job's reaction and action to what was taking place was correct. God gave me all this. God can take it away. Now, there's a sermon in the process of dealing with Job and how he ended up in chapter 44, 43, 42, of finally seeing God for real. But he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord's taken away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Even in the middle of a huge trial, losing all his kids, losing all his wealth, losing his health, he was still blessing and thanking God. When it comes to having something to be thankful for, we're thankful for what we have. Not necessarily, we're not unthankful for what we don't have, can't have, or what's missing in our lives. We're thankful for what God has provided so that we do not forget Him. Proverbs 30, please. Proverbs 30. Just before the Proverbs 31 description, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. You know, sometimes we do this. We impute doctrine that God doesn't say is doctrine. We do that to ourselves. It says, don't add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. We appreciate what we have, and we can be thankful to God for what He's provided. Thankful for the situations we're allowed to go through, even if for the moment those situations are troublesome. Psalm 68 is a kind of a keynote scripture here in dealing with Thanksgiving. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation, Selah. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Just stay there. I have a reference here. I want to check. 103. Psalm 103:2. You can put it in your notes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tenderness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Mercy is not a lack of will to punish. It is a decision that God extends to us. He gives us His mercy. But here in verse 19, daily loads us with benefits. Loads. We know elsewhere, when dealing with measures, God says, when you give something, you give it full, pressed down, shaken. When I was a kid, you have no clue about the sifter, do you? You're too young. I would make bread. I love making drop biscuits and such. We had a sifter. And you put the flour in the sifter. And what it did was it filled it with air and it puffed up. And you take that much and you get that much because it's filled with air. Now, it's a different example. You want some ice cream. And they dollop an ice cream into a bowl. And they hand it to you. And you just look at it going, I want some more. But they get the bowl and they put a dollop in there and they squish that down. They get another dollop and they squish that down and they get another dollop and they crush it down there and it's filled to the brim. Who had more care and concern for you? You know, the one obviously filled it to the brim. That's what God is saying here. He loads us daily with His benefits. You know, we could sit down and go, what benefits? What benefits? I start out with mercy. I start out with forgiveness. I start out with salvation, His Holy Spirit. I start out with the hope of tomorrow, the help that He's given, the promises that He's given, His daily benefits. And after a while, the difficulties we might have, the difficulties we might face, yes, they're hard, but they are like the butterfly. They are strengthening us in a world that really is hard. And we need to stretch and push and shove our wings so that they are hard that we can fly. God wants us to be thankful, even in difficulties. And here He gives us daily benefits, daily wonderful things, marvelous things. Philippians 2. We're going to go back to meddling. We're talking about being thankful as an attitude and an attribute of a Christian. We're going to go to meddling again. I seem to do that all the time. You could run me out on a rail, it's fine. Because I didn't see any rail line. There's an airport. Philippians 2, please, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. There it is, folks. Thankful people do not complain. They deal with what is. They don't argue. They don't growl. Do all things without complaining and disputing, so that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That identifies the world around us. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. You see, this is an identifier. Being thankful is an identifier. Not complaining is an identifier. And the world will take note because you will be different. The world wants you to be angry. The world wants you to complain. The world wants you to be unthankful. That way they're not unnerved by, well, you're the same as us. God wants us to be different because we are the light of the world and the world will take note. You will shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. God does not labor in vain in our lives. We're to do all things without grumbling or disputing. Paul explains this response is important. That we may prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent in a world that wants us to be blamed and not innocent. So that we can hold fast the word of life and that we are the light of the world. Here's a challenge for us. Let's take what we've got so far. Not to be complaining, not to be disputing, but to be thankful. And in our families, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, being thankful, showing appreciation, expressing appreciation. Children, young people, expressing thanks and appreciation to your parents. They give you food, shelter, guidance. You may think that they're not, my world is good, I just can't live because you're not on my side. No, forget that. Your parents are for you. Appreciate your parents. Appreciate your husband. Appreciate your wife. Appreciate your boss. Appreciate the stranger. Be thankful for everything you have. And be thankful for things that you don't have. This is the challenge we have. Non-grumbling is not an option. It wasn't a suggestion. Paul is commanding us to have a non-grumbling, non-disputing attitude. And that is to be a believer's continual response. Remember, going back to Job's experience, when we murmur about our experience, our circumstance, when we murmur about, this is just collapsing around us, rah, 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 murmur, 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 we are murmuring in the final analysis against the one who allowed that circumstance. And that would be God. If He indeed is working in our lives, I don't want to be the one to murmur against His will. If He's allowing me to go through something, I want Him on my side to help me go through whatever I'm supposed to go through and to learn whatever I'm supposed to learn. But I'm not going to murmur against what He allows. That was part of Job's issue. We need to view the adverse circumstance through the eyes of faith and an eternal perspective, asking the question, is God still on His throne? And if yes, then make the self-chosen path to give God thanks in everything. Job could have said, you know, my world has collapsed here. God, He's forgotten me. And that's not the case. That is not the case. Being thankful can also be considered an excellent antidote for anxiety or worry, as we understand from Paul's command in Philippians. We went through 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it's in your notes already, tells us to be thankful for all things. Says that it's the will of God. There are no exceptions, no waivers, nothing left out. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, the good, the bad, the ugly, we're to be thankful. We're to be thankful for this whole way of life, this journey that we're on. Nothing left out. Nothing left out. Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3. Was I here before? No, I wasn't. Good. Sometimes I duplicate my notes for emphasis. Colossians 3, please. Verse 12. Therefore, this is your title. This is who God sees you, sees as what you are. As the elect of God. That's your calling. Holy. Beloved, holy, sanctified, set apart. Beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts and to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Jesus Christ set the standard, and He was always thankful. Thankful must become a way of life. Being thankful is a way of life that we should follow and embrace. It is what we are. It's who we've been called to be. We are the elect of God, and we are to be holy and beloved and thankful. Finally, yes, I use that word. Finally, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. The sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice. We are on our knees. We're standing before Him. Whatever we're doing, do all in the name of God. Right? To His glory. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, love that phrase, the fruit of our lips, the things we say, giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks to His name. We've been called to live a way of thanksgiving. We are called to continually offer the sacrifice of praise, of being thankful. We've been given a great mandate from God, a challenging one, a difficult one, and that is to be thankful for all things. Yet it is God's will that we be thankful. Going back to the story of Corrie ten Boom, even for fleas, in the middle of a concentration camp, even for fleas, we can be thankful. If that's what we have, we're to be thankful. There is a direct benefit that comes from being thankful. This is an important identifying Christian attitude, an attribute that we must exercise daily. Being thankful must become a way of life. It's always a pleasure. I'm scheduled to be here right after the feast, but